Thanks for again for your time, man. Following along with the questions here, maybe just share a little bit about who you are and kind of your journey that got you there.
Yeah, so my name's Kyle, and I probably say most importantly, I'm trying to figure out really what it means to love God and to love people, and how that's shaping everything that I do. So whether it's as a husband or as a father or as a pastor, as a compassionate ministry leader, as a baseball coach, just really trying to figure out how loving God and loving people fits into all of those areas, and really don't always do a good job at trying to find my identity as someone who's loved by God and letting that lead me. I serve as a pastor and founder and director and board president of a nonprofit called Empower North County, located in the northern part of St. Louis. Ferguson sits right next to us. We're in a community called Florissant, Hazelwood. It's all kind of combined. And so I've been here for 12 years. I served as the youth pastor here at this local church for about 7.5 years. And now I've been the lead pastor for 4.5. Really love our community and what we're doing here in North County.
Awesome. Before I go to the next question, So the next question is, I mean, you've shared a little bit about your community, but tell us more about where you are and what you do in kind of the broader scope. You're pastor at a church, but you're also a part of your community in a lot of ways. What does that look like?
Yeah, just me personally, I've kind of taken on the idea of investing in our local school district. So just personally, as just a community member, I'm a PTA president at my local school. I mentor three boys at a school that we have a partnership with, soccer coach, baseball coach, trying to see my role as not someone who just sits in a building and plays the role of pastor. But trying to really have an impact on our community, to be with our community. We talk about that a lot at Trinity, and this idea of that we're not just in the community. I just happen to live here. Our building just doesn't happen to be where we're at. We're not even just for the community, meaning we don't have something to just give, but we think our community has something to give back to us. So taking this idea on that we want to be with the community. And so we want to see our community as an asset to what we're trying to accomplish in North County. So being involved in lots of different ways in the local school district has probably been the number one thing I've taken on personally, and then leading our church and our nonprofit into those areas as well.
Tell me a little bit more about the investment in the school district, because I know we've had discussions about that's a very strategic, practical thing in the lives of these kids and kind of their future. So can you delve into that a little bit about the reasoning behind that?
Yeah, personally, in our area, our school district is the third largest school district in Missouri. But we've gone through a lot of pain over the last 10 years. Lots of transition with superintendents, some people losing jobs for different reasons. And the culture of our community is kind of a get out. If you have the means, if you have the resources to leave, then you leave for the most part. And part of that has to do with our school district. People don't think that we have a effective school district, that we lack in resources, which is true. And so they either send their kids to private school, they homeschool, they cross a river. There's a river here that's kind of given a divide between two kind of communities. And so a lot of people even say, we're going to jump the river, or we're going to leave to head west. And they go into areas that have better school districts. And so my mentality is in Jeremiah 29 is to seek the peace and prosperity to the place where you've been sent. And
Right
so
on.
instead of leaving, we have just taken on this mindset of, I'm not going to complain about the school district. I'm going to participate in what's going on and do my part. And not that it's going to change because of me, but if enough people do that, there's this idea that maybe we can have an impact. And so probably 7 years ago, we just took on a partnership with a local elementary. We've done a lot of tutoring and mentoring. And so I meet with five boys. It was supposed to be two. And this year they asked me if I would meet with a new boy who was getting into some trouble. So that made it three. And then two of my boys asked if they could bring friends. And these guys want to be involved as well. And so it's really just investing in these boys. None of them have a father. No real male role model in their life of how to deal with their anger and conflict and disappointment and bullying. And so once a week I have lunch with them and just really just talk about life and how to deal with some of those things. And so it's been exciting to see them grow. The one little boy that I've met with started as a second grader. He's about to go into middle school, and we're trying to figure out what that looks like now. It's kind of a big brother role of being able to pick him up outside of the school day and spend a little time with him. But yeah, we've also looked at our reading scores are low in the community. So how do we help kids learn to read better? But we've also wanted to have an impact on the teachers, on administrators. So it's not just kids, but it's an avenue to get into the building. It's an opportunity to reach families and to participate just in, not just in the school, but in their daily lives as well.
Right. Thanks, man. You've gotten into this a bit about just kind of the cultural cross-section of your community, but talk to us more about what the culture's like there, how you're a part of it, what are the social issues in the culture, just kind of what your participation and heart is behind the specific cultural context you live in.
Yeah. Well, most people who would listen to this or hear where I'm from, they've seen Ferguson in the news over the last couple of years. And really what happened with Michael Brown being shot by a police officer was just kind of a tipping point for some things that were going on in our community. Really, that community was abusing the system, and whether it was through ticketing or bonds, there were lots of ways there was some systematic racism that was happening. And so that was kind of a tipping point to it all. And there's been some changes that have happened, but we still see that our community is a community that is under-resourced. There was a massive white flight that took place in the mid-90s, and it's still happening. People, as I said, are trying to figure out a way to jump the river and to leave our community. We have a really interesting community. I have to say, and I've been around in some major cities and suburbs, I have not found a place like ours that is so diverse. Not only diverse in race, with culture, religion. We have a mosque that just went in, and so we have a large Muslim population. Arab Muslims who live in our community, a Hispanic population that is growing in our community. But then even economics, we have everywhere from, I would consider kind of upper class even, all the way to those who are living below the poverty line. About 70% in our school district are free and reduced lunches. The Ferguson Florissant School District that is next to us, their whole district is receiving free lunches at this point. So we have this really broad spectrum of demographics, and a lot of people see that as a good thing, but a lot of people want to run from it because it's difficult. And so we see that in church world. We're striving really hard to be a multicultural church, but it's difficult. Just a quick story. We have a young family that's coming to our church, a black family. And after Charlottesville happened, and we kind of saw what happened in that community, and how I think maybe for the first time, racism in the sense of even white supremacy, there was no longer a hood or a mask that was covering just really explicit racism. And so the mom came to me that following Saturday, and it's been my my philosophy, just when those things happen, we just talk about it. And we upfront, we deal with it, we pray about it, but we also just name what it is. We have called out racism. We have called out systematic racism and prejudice. And so I did that the week after that happened. And she came up to me afterwards and she just said, I almost didn't come back. She almost didn't come back because she didn't know how people viewed her. And if she was wanted and welcome there, because as she looked around, she just wondered in a predominantly white congregation how people viewed her. And it just broke my heart. And I just thanked her for being there. And I've realized the sacrifice many of our black families are making in being there with us. Wow. It's not easy for them. I know it's not. And so we want to be outspoken about it. We're reading books about the topic of racism and prejudice together in very diverse groups. And we just want to talk about it. And we want to be a part of healing. And we feel like by naming it, we're trying to provide a space where some healing could take place. But it is a long road and it is not easy. And so we just want to be a part of again, just the healing of really a lot of hurt that's taken place in St. Louis and in our community for a long time. And we just don't want to sit back and let it continue.
Right. Man, thanks for sharing that story. Yeah. I appreciate hearing your heart, brother. You mentioned a few different books. If somebody wanted to get into some stuff that was really good to kind of delve into what you guys are doing in conversation, what would some of those resources be? What would some of those books be?
Yeah, I'd say the number one book is America's Original Sin by Wallace. That's a book that we went through as a group. It's Racism, White Privilege, and the Bridge to a New America. Uh-huh. And that has been really beneficial to our people.
Okay.
And one of my things that I would encourage my white friends to do is to work really hard to not just read white authors. That's one of the things that's been my goal this year in 2018, is to really figure out what it means to not just listen to the same voices over and over, yeah. but to listen to the voices of our black brothers and sisters. John Perkins, One Blood, that just came out, is a really good book. I would encourage people to read that one as well.
Thanks, man. I've been challenged I don't know how when it first happened, but just somebody said, so when you show a video to your youth group or to your church, is it mostly like white people?
Yeah.
Is it mostly white older men?
Yeah.
Who is it? Are there women voices from you know, across disciplines? Are there people from different ethnic backgrounds, from different nationalities? And so I'm really cognizant of that. And so I appreciate that challenge and that reminder.
That's good.
So do you have short-term groups that come and hang out with you guys there?
This summer will be the first time that we've had some groups come and serve with us.
So are they coming for like a weekend or a week or?
They're coming for a week.
Okay. What's a short-term group that's coming to? Are they coming to Trinity Naz? Or are they coming? I kind of slurred my words. Trinity Nazarene. Are they coming to Empower North County? Is it a hybrid? Yeah. What does that look like? And what are they doing?
Yeah. So Empower North County and Trinity are basically one and the same. We've just kind of given a name to what we're doing in our compassionate ministry in the community. It's been interesting to see how schools and businesses, even churches, are willing to work with us as Empower North County, where we haven't had that same response when we come to them as Trinity. And so they'll be staying at our building at Trinity here in North County. We have a great facility to host groups. And then they'll be working kind of under the name of Empower North County. So we're doing a couple of projects at the local schools. One of the groups will help us serve. We're serving lunches. This is the second summer. As I said earlier, about 70% of our kids in our school district are free or reduced lunches. But that doesn't count in summer school. And so what they do is the district sends kids home before lunchtime. So they don't receive lunch.
Wow.
They don't have the funding to do that. And so we've partnered with the St. Louis Area Food Bank, and we have partnered with the school district, and we're serving lunches in two of the schools. So last year we served 4,783 lunches. Wow. And we'll do probably that same number this year. And so one of the groups that comes in will help us serve lunches, doing a couple of different projects at the school, some painting on the playground. We're working with an organization that serves refugees. It's actually a Muslim woman who runs it and kind of even funded through the Islamic Foundation.
Wow.
But we have decided to partner with them to love and serve refugees. So we'll go into a warehouse, organize furniture, and help them get that in the hands of refugees that need it. We're working with an organization called Love the Lou, who serve teenagers in the city. They serve them by helping them learn some basic job skills and giving back to the community. So some community gardens that we'll work with. St. Louis Area Food Bank and their distribution center, working with them. And so it's not only kind of serving in power, but working with some of the organizations that we try and have some partnerships with.
That's great. So short-term groups come in. They're probably all different ages. Are they youth group? Are they intergenerational? How does that work?
Youth group. So we have a junior high only group coming, and then we have a junior high school group coming. But we're starting to look at possibly trying to do some older groups as well, kind of the work in witness side, some people who have some building skills. We have some ideas of some things that we want to do.
Okay. So if a young adult or maybe a young married couple even, or somebody that just wanted to take a semester off of school. I'm kind of throwing a few things at you here, but I mean, we talk about the summer a lot, and I'd like to hear from you, just share with us, like, what would a young adult be a part of over the summer if they were there for, like, June and July? And what if somebody wanted to take a semester off and come spend it with you? Is that a possibility? What would that look like?
Yeah, I really believe that the best thing we can do for young people and young adults, and really for anybody, is to help them figure out how their passions intersect with God's mission in a community. And so not even just plugging them into what we're doing, but to figure out where are you gifted? What skills do you have? What are you passionate about? And we have a lot of partnerships. And so trying to figure out what that would look like. But we are doing some things that we're looking for some specific people. One of the cool things we started was a soccer academy. In our first year, we had 160 kids play in our soccer academy in a North County Travel League.
Sweet.
Resources are leaving our community. And so one of those is a high level of soccer. So St. Louis is known as a soccer city, but there is not a select soccer team in our area. So kids have to have the resources and the transportation to go probably 30 minutes to the next club team. And so we have said, what would it look like to start a really good soccer academy that could develop into some club teams? And so just in throwing that out there in the first year, we had 160 kids. And what was great about that is 53% were white, but then the other 47% were black or a mixed race, Hispanic, Asian, Arabic. We had families, we had kids coming from parents who have different sexual orientations, religions. And so it was a picture of our community in the diversity. And it was a real opportunity to celebrate diversity and to build relationships. And so anyone who has a background in soccer or who want to take the fall to come and invest in that, it's more than just soccer. We're including this year. We didn't do it last year, but we're going to have a mentoring feast that'll take place in our soccer academy. Just a real quick plug. We're going to look at starting Empower Studios and do some recording in our community. And we have a couple of people who have some experience in the hip hop world. And so being able to teach some kids how to record, for them to be able to record their own stuff. That's one of the things that we need to do. We're wanting to build a studio in our facility. So someone who would have a background of being able to help us do that, we'd love for to come in and partner. But then social workers, educators, being able to plug them into the schools we're working with, they are just desperate for us to give back to them as much as we can.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. That's a lot of new stuff. I was throwing questions at you, but you gave me a whole bunch of new stuff, man. Thanks.
Yeah.
Last question. It's a two-part question.
Okay.
What would be helpful to understand about your context for somebody coming from the outside? And what are you hopeful about in your community?
Yeah, I think we're in the type of community where it gives people an opportunity to see that everyone is created in the image of God. And so as we've had people come in, just different groups or young adults, some of them don't come from an area like ours. And so because of what has happened in Ferguson, because of the narrative maybe they've heard about someone who is different than them, they may come in with some ideas. But what I'm hopeful about for all of us in our community is that we just begin to see people as people who are dearly loved by God. And it is our responsibility to love them as well. I'm really, really hopeful about what God is doing through Empower North County and building relationships and what I believe he's hoping to do through us and in us as we continue to invest in and to build relationships with kids in our community and their parents and really some beneficial ways where we are empowering people. We're not just offering a service. We're not offering just a meal, but we're offering relationship. We're offering to give them an opportunity to give back to what we're doing as well, that this is something we're doing with one another as a community.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate your time today, Kyle.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity to share what we're doing here in North County.
Yeah, man. I know you're praying and I'm praying that as folks are listening to this, that they're going, I gotta get out there. I gotta meet this guy. I gotta see this place. And also that maybe there's somebody they could share this with that would come and you'll have somebody showing up on your doorstep going, I heard a podcast and I need to be here.
That'd be great.
May the Lord inspire in that direction.
Yeah, thanks, Kenny.
Thanks, man.